wanted to share something which I saw yesterday, the last couple of days, a very, very exciting and very, I felt very inspirational idea. You know, I've been shaking the lulav for quite a number of years now, right? So as all of us have been shaking for many years, and I say shaking, what is, you know, the significance of the shaking? Like, what is this all, what's it all about? If you look in the, when you just examine what the pasuk says in the Torah, all it says, lekachtem b'yom rishon, take on the first day, take the arba minim, the four species, the lulav, the esrog, and the hadassim, and the aravis, take them. It doesn't mention anything in the Torah about shaking or moving things or extending the lulav in this direction, that direction. It's simply taking. And in fact, midoraisa, according to this, the basic biblical halacha, even if you just simply pick up the lulav and esrog, and you have in mind that you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, you fulfill the mitzvah, right? So if it's, let's say it's laying down on the table over here, and you make a blessing, asher kiddushonu, etc., and you have in mind you're going to do the mitzvah of not shaking, but taking the lulav and esrog, according to the wording of the Torah, simply by picking it up for the sake of the mitzvah, that already is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And you've never seen anyone do that, and I've never seen anyone do that. And in fact, it's not really the right way to do it, because the rabbis established that the way to do it is by shaking it. But that component of shaking it or moving it around in all the six directions is an overlay. It's an overlay. According to one opinion, it actually has a biblical origin to it as well. But most commentaries say it's a rabbinic overlay on the mitzvah. The biblical basic bare bones essential is to simply pick it up, right? But then shaking it, moving it, six directions up and down. That's a rabbinic overlay on the mitzvah. So, what is it about? So the Mishnah talks about it. The Mishnah says that you're supposed to shake. Well, it says you're supposed to do nanuim. Nanuim. That's the Hebrew word ninua, which is a whole big discussion unto itself. Like exactly what is this nanua ninua procedure or ceremony? Some opinions simply say that all you do is you just extend it outwards and into towards your chest in the six directions with no shaking whatsoever. No shaking, right? Others, and it seems to be the prevalent custom, others say as you're moving it, as you're extending it in the six directions, you're supposed to shake it as well at the same time. And even on that, there's a debate exactly where you shake it, right? Do you shake it as you're moving it, as you're extending it out and bringing it back in it? Or do you shake it only when you extend it out and then you shake it three times over there and you bring it back to yourself and you shake it three times over there? You may have seen people do that. That's the Rambam's opinion. Right, Maimonides says that, to do it that way. Others say no, you shake it as you're going out. You're shaking it all in the different direction. You do it three times in this direction, shaking all the time. So there's a lot of discussion about this shaking, the extensions. What exactly is it? So the truth is that the commentaries say that it's a very Kabbalistic idea. There's a lot of Kabbalistic import behind this whole procedure. But I saw over here just a beautiful, beautiful explanation. Tosfos in the Gemara, he says that the basis for the shaking, we'll just use the word shaking, you know, as a generic term, the basis for it is a verse which we say every day in the davening. Every day in the davening we say, Oz Yeraninu Atse Haya Melifne Hashem, Kiva Lishbates Aretz. Then, right, the trees of the forest sang before Hashem, because He has come to judge the world, to judge the land. This verse, Oz Yiradanu Hashem, that then the trees of the forest, the foliage, the trees of the forest are singing to Hashem because Hashem has come to judge the land. And then the verse continues, praises Hashem, Hodu LaHashem, Ki Tov, Ki Lo Mchasto, praises to Hashem because He is good. And another verse says, save us Hashem, save us. That's how the whole verse reads. So three phrases, three expressions. One is the trees of the forest are singing to Hashem. What are they singing? Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Lo Lumchasto. Honor Hashem, or Hoshia Elokei Yesheinu. Please save us, Hashem. Right? Hoshana. So this is the basis, right, that the Gemara says. Tosfos says this is the basis for shaking it during Hallel. During Hallel specifically. In other words, even though we shake it when we initially take it, when make a blessing on it, but the Mishnah says the place to actually shake it is during Hallel, because Hallel is singing to Hashem, praises to Hashem, and the verse says that the trees of the forest are singing to Hashem. What are they singing to Hashem? This verse in Tehillim, they're singing praise to Hashem, give thanks to Hashem, save us Hashem. Those words are in Hallel, right? We say in Hallel, Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Lo M'chasto, and then later on in Hallel we say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Please, Hashem, save us. So this is the basis for shaking it inside the Hallel. Inside the Hallel, to shake the Lulav and Esrog as an expression or as a reflection of the trees of the forest singing to Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for all of the goodness. Thank you, Hashem, for all of the goodness. And please, Hashem, save us from all calamities and terrible things. And the trees of the forest, what are the trees of the forest? The Lulav and Esrog. Right, the lulav and esrog, the four species, are symbolic of the trees of the forest, singing to Hashem. They are singing to Hashem. Praise Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. So the lulav and esrog is actually an expression of thank you. Right? Shaking the lulav and esrog is an expression of saying thank you to Hashem. It's actually an expression of saying thank you. And that's, again, why the many say that the primary place for shaking it is not, as a lot of people do initially when they pick it up and just shake it then, and you do it then as well. But the primary place for shaking is during Hallel. During Hallel, to actually shake it during Hallel. It's an expression, it's a vehicle, it's a tool for saying thank you to Hashem. That's what the Lulav and Esrog is. It's a tool, it's a special tool that the rabbis said is to say thank you to Hashem with. And the question is why? Why on Sukkot particularly do we have a special device for saying thank you to Hashem? Tell me, right? Is there any other Yom Tov that has a special tool for saying thank you to Hashem? Any other mitzvahs? Can anyone think of any other mitzvahs where the entire design of this mitzvah is for saying thank you to Hashem, saying Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov? Yeah. There isn't any, yeah. Right? I mean, there are other many mitzvahs which we do, are which are an expression of gratitude as a side idea. But apparently, when it comes to the Lulav and Esrog, in fact, actually, the Medrash says, there's a Medrash says that the, that, I'll get to that in a second, right? There's no other Yom Tov which has a specific mitzvah which is targeted specifically for saying thank you, not on Pesach, right? We say Haggadah on Pesach to remember what we being taken out and telling the story. But the actual mitzvah to say thank you to Hashem with is only on Sukkot. Why is that?
Sacrifices?
No, they're not. That's a kapara. That's for forgiveness and for. But an actual mitzvah which is designated for saying hodah, for saying thank you to Hashem, seems to be, the Medrash says, only a lulav and esrog. Lulav and esrog is this unique mitzvah for saying thank you to Hashem. So the answer is the Medrash says that the reason why is because On this Yom Tov, right now, we have been newly created. We are newly created on this Yom Tov. Why do I say that? Because if you think about it, go through the Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. On Pesach, we came out of Mitzrayim, and we were suddenly born, right, as a nation, but we weren't completed then because the Torah hadn't been given. Right, the Torah hadn't been given on Pesach, and then we are still waiting for the Torah to be given to really have the completion of the formation of the Jewish people on Shavuos with the Torah being given. So we can't really say we were fully formed on Pesach. On Shavuos, which commemorates the Torah being given, technically or potentially we would have been fully formed, if not for what? The Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. So that kind of messed things up. So therefore on Shavuos, we can't really celebrate the complete completion, the complete formation of the Jewish people because they failed with the golden calf. Only after Yom Kippur. Only after Yom Kippur, when the Jewish people were forgiven for the Chet HaEgel, for the sin of the golden calf, fully forgiven, and then the clouds of glory returned, which is also the Sukkah. The Sukkah came back, came to us with commemorating the Sukkah because it commemorates the clouds of glory, which finally returned to the Jewish people after their forgiveness for the Chet HaEgel. Aha, the completion of the Jewish people takes place on Yom Kippur. The completion happens on Yom Kippur when you're fully forgiven. And the Sukkah and the Yom Tov of Sukkot is the celebration of the completion. This Yom Tov, there are commentaries I got over here that write that the Yom Tov of Sukkot, I read the words, the commentary called the Tzruah HaMorah says, Ki Zehamo, this Yom Tov of Sukkot, in which we're sitting right now, is Gadol Mikol HaMoadim, is greater than all of the other Yom Tovim. It's great. I mean, people in the world, people have a little bit of a kind of a convoluted, distorted perspective on things, right? They say Pesach's the most important. Rosh Hashanah, listen to this. He says the Yom Tov of Sukkot is the Gadol Mikol HaMoadim. The reason is because on this Moed of Pesach, as I said, the Jewish people weren't complete yet because they still needed the Torah. And then after Mount Torah, they sin with the golden calf. It was only with Yom Kippur, lo nischapru lehem ha'oven. It was only with Yom Kippur they were fully forgiven. V'acha Yom Kippur, then after Yom Kippur, nishalem ha'shleim usen. That's when their perfection was completed. Only after Yom Kippur, the Jewish people reached their zenith, their completion after Yom Kippur. V'lechein, therefore, moed shel sukkos, this Yom Tov of sukkos, this Yom Tov right now, here sitting inside the sukkah, is a moed ikari, Mikol HaMoadim is the most central moed of all the Yom Tovim. It symbolizes the completion. Now, this is not just for them in the times of the desert. The Jewish people are going through the desert. As we know, every Yom Tov is a repetition. It's a tapping into the energy of the original moments when the Yom Tovim were created. So every Yom Tov, we are retracing the steps of the Jewish people and experiencing the same shleimus, the same perfection that the Jewish people had there. So, and that's very resonant because we've just gone through Rosh Hashanah, gone through Yom Kippur. As I said many times, we have not exercised such an effort of teshuva as much as during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Everyone's done that. I know everyone here, if you've gone to shul, you've participated in any class, everyone has gone through a process of teshuva on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur more than any other time of the year. And then aided with the intrinsic power of Yom Kippur, there's no greater time of shleimus, of perfection, of self-development and self-realization, self-actualization than on Yom Kippur. And Sukkot is the celebration of that. This Yom Tov is the celebration of that shleimus which we achieved on Yom Kippur. So while Pesach was incomplete and Shavuos was incomplete, right? Yom Kippur and Sukkot is the completion. And therefore, this is the reason why we're so happy, we're so joyful, and we're so thankful. The real source, or the real basis for saying thank you to Hashem, we have to say thank you for everything, right? We have to say thank you for our health. We have to say thank you for our homes, for our family, for all the physical things. But you know what? The greatest thing to say thank you for is self-realization, self-actualization. And then if you think about that, you know, you can have all of the possessions, you can have all of the physical wealth and all of the material objects and commodities of the world. If we don't have ourselves, we have nothing. Right? Inner shleimus, an inner completion of spirit, of soul, of identity is the greatest source of celebration and joy. Right? You can have everything, every single thing in the physical world, but no shleimus inside, like a discord, a dissonance, and a conflict and tension within ourselves, inside. And many times people don't really know what's going on in another person's personality and the discord which is going on inside. If there's discord inside, if there's not the word shleimus means perfection, but also means wholeness as well, completion, integration and synergy of all of the different forces within, that's the greatest source of joy. That's the greatest source of joy, and that's the greatest basis for saying thank you to Hashem. Shleimus. It's interesting, you know. We bench Gomel, right? There's a benching Gomel. What do we bench? Benching Gomel is an expression for saying a blessing for coming out of a difficult, dangerous situation. If a person, you know, typically people say they make the blessing of Gomel after they travel on a plane. They go a far distance internationally. There's a different dispute. There's a dispute about exactly when you do it. But also if a person gets better from a very dangerous illness or is saved from a very dangerous situation. The Gemara says there are four people who are required to bench Gomel. One is someone who gets better from an illness or a really dangerous situation, a dangerous, life-threatening situation. Another is someone who has arrived at his destination from traveling through a desert. Third is one who's arrived at his destination after traveling over the oceans. This is the basis for after flying over an ocean. And the third is someone who's come out of jail, right? These four people have to bench Gomel for these four situations. So on the surface, you'd say the reason is because of, you're safe. You came out safe. You came out alive. You're now better. So one of the commentaries on this Gemara says, the Marsha says, he says, the reason for benching Gomel is not for the physical salvation and the physical safety you now have, but it's because of the spiritual shleimus, the spiritual completion, the spiritual perfection you can now achieve. Because in those four circumstances, a person's inner potential is very restricted and constricted. Being in jail, it's dangerous. You know, you're constricted. In all these constricted situations, you can't reach your potential. You can't learn Torah. You can't do mitzvahs. You can't daven in jail. It's dangerous. A person's traveling in a desert. He doesn't know where to get his food from, where to get his water from. It's all constricted. And then also over the ocean as well, you're lost at sea. And also a person is sick. All of these circumstances severely restrict the person's ability to self-actualize. And therefore the blessing of Gomel is on the self-actualization of the ability to now reach your perfection, reach your spiritual perfection coming out of these four circumstances. And that's the cause of Hodah. So because Sukkos is the type, we have now come through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we've evolved, we've done Teshuvah, we've reached our Shleimus to the extent that we can, once again, in this year again, now we're full of joy, we're saying thank you to Hashem, and we take the Lulav and Esrog, and we shake it. Why the Lulav and Esrog? So this is old stuff, right? Because the four species, the Esrog symbolizes the heart, right? The Hadassim symbolizes the eyes, because it looks like eyes. The Aravas looks like lips. And the Lulav is a spine, which looks like a spine. So the Medrash says that those four organs, those four faculties, they are the sum total of all of the faculties, all the organs of a person's body. It says in Tehillim, Kol Atzmosai Tamarna Mikamocha Hashem, all of my organs, says to Hashem, who is like you? We say that every Shabbat in Nishmas. Kol Atzmosai Tamarna Mikamocha. All of my bones, all of my organs are calling out to Hashem to say, who is like you? To say thank you to Hashem. And the Medrash says that all of my bones, all of my organs are all encapsulated in specifically the four organs which the four species represent. Right? The four species are those four organs of the eyes, the lips, the spine, and the heart, because this is everything in the person. What you look at, what the things you look at, the things you speak about, right? Our speech, what do we occupy our conversations with? Right? What are our conversations about? Is it about Nourishkeit, or is it about Ruchnius? Is it about Torah? What are we looking at, or what are we putting our eyes to? To Svarim, to holy objects, to holy people? Where are we running to with our spines? Where we are moving our body to with our spines? To shuls or to who knows where? To silly places? What are we putting our emotions into? Are we putting our emotions into all of the amassing of all of the worldly pleasures? Or am I putting my emotions into Torah, into Avodas Hashem? Those four organs are everything. So if they represent, if they are the encapsulation of every organ of the body, and on Sukkos, we are saying thank you to Hashem. We want to give every part of our body with an expression of saying thank you to Hashem. And therefore, the shaking of the Lulav and Esrog is essentially like our whole body is pulsating and alive and lebedic and moving. Oz Yiranenu, Kol Atzeiyah, all of the trees of the forest are singing out to Hashem, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for reaching my shleimus, going through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And that's the shaking of the lulav. So when you're shaking the lulav and esrog, to think about this is you. This is you. This is me, right? This is my eyes. This is my lips. This is my spine. This is my heart. It's lebedic. It's dancing. It's just jumping up and down as I'm shaking all directions, whatever I'm going, any direction I'm going in. I'm saying thank you to Hashem. I want to be a servant to Hashem. That's the Arab Aminim. This is the vehicle for saying thank you to Hashem at this time of year. It's beautiful. Beautiful, such an important idea. This is the significance of it. So it's not just simply picking it up, but it's picking up and shaking it and moving it. And as it's flapping around, and it's you. This is the Lulav and Esrog is me. It's you. It's your life. It's your being alive. You're being lebedic. You're alive. You're full of energy and excitement and enthusiasm to do mitzvahs, to serve Hashem, to learn Torah, to do what's really purposeful in our life. That's what the Shaking Lulav and Esrog is. That's why it's Dafka now, specifically now, this time of year, because it's the culmination of our shleimus of the year. No, at the time, but hold on to it. We've got to hold on to the shleimus, the perfection, the self-actualization which we had through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Hold on to it. It should all be zoch. We should all merit to give ourselves over with light, with energy and vitality, like the lulav and esrog, like the shaking lulav and esrog.
May
we need a l'chaim now.